This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Bruchim Abayim. Welcome to tonight's Shir. We're continuing our series on Sefer Bamidbar. Even though sometimes the Shirim at first glance don't seem to be connected to the Parsha, but it always is very connected. So the Shirim on Sefer Bamidbar are generously sponsored by Dr. Zakheim u'mishpachta, Le'iloi Nishmas, Rav Shlomo Eliezer, Ben Rav Yaakov Zakheim, and Le'iloi Nishmas, Dr. Zakheim's mother, Rivka Bas Tuvia Halevi, the Nesham B'Shaven Aliyah, B'Melitze Yisharim for their whole family, Ad B'Yas Goel Tzedek. Tonight's Shir and their Shirim on Sefer Bamidbar are also sponsored by our good friend Rabbi Isaac Yosilovsky, Le'iloi Nishmas, Isaac's father, Shabsi Ben Yitzchak Isaac, his Nesham B'Shaven Aliyah, and B'Yomil Tzioshi for their whole family, Abiyas Goel Tzedek. Tonight's Shir is sponsored, firstly, by my good friend Reb Kenny Pinsauer as Refuah Shleima for his mother, Dina Bas Chana. And, of course, tonight's Shir is sponsored by our very dear friends in Yerushalayim, Mrs. Yehudit Herman, in memory of her beloved mother, Mrs. Harriet Pinchuk Goldberg, Chaya Harriet Bas Label. Her third yard site is Tesvav Tammuz, which is already tonight. So on this occasion, we wish her that the neshama should have an aliyah. And of course, we know that the Herman family, an illustrious family in Yerushalayim. And I want to mention my dear friend, Rav Shmuel Herman, who's the Rosh Kollel of the Schottenstein Kollel in Yerushalayim. So on this occasion, we wish that the Herman Mishpacha should have Simchas and Nachas. And we also wanted to mention that very important piece of information that Mrs. Herman's mother was zoicha to see 3 great-grandchildren and 5 generations of descendants. And may the family continue the Simcha uvenachas ad bias goel tzedek. Okay, now that we passed the first stage of the shir, we're going to have a test on that part. Okay, so firstly, now that the 3 weeks are coming up, if anybody does not yet have this very important book, The Darkness and the Dawn, you can get it right here, or you could order it at artscroll.com. You want free shipping? Then you put in promo code DAWNFREE, and you get free shipping. It's about the 3 weeks. Shavuos Vetamos, Tisha B'Av. So you say, what do I need? Mashiach is going to come. How are you going to read Megillas Eicha when Mashiach comes? You're going to need to know that. So don't think, I don't need it. Mashiach is coming. No, this is the book you need for when Mashiach comes. Then we're going to start today's subject. Tonight's topic is about the life and times of one of the great Rishonim, Rabbeinu Shmuel ben Rav Meir, otherwise known as the Rashbam. Say, well, last week we learned about Rabbeinu Tam, and I feel so close to Rabbeinu Tam because a couple weeks earlier we learned about Rashi. Say, I want to connect with these people. How can I connect with them? Well, I was hoping you would ask that question. You could join us in about 10 days. We're going to France, and we're going to Rashi's Kever on his yard site on Chav Tes Tammuz. We're going to be visiting the city of Rashi's son-in-laws, Rashi's grandchildren in Ramarupt. We're going to be visiting the city of Metz, where the Chagas Aryeh was a Rav. We're going to be visiting Strasbourg, which is the city of Rav David Sinsheim, the head of Napoleon Sanhedrin. We're going to be going to the south, where many of the Balei HaToisus and many of the Chachmei Luniel and the Chachamim of the south of France lived. So if you want to join us, we still have a spot on the bus for you. Okay, so let's begin learning about the Rashbam.
I'd like to go on the trip.
Reb Sender, you're ready? Yeah. We signed you up already. Okay.
Okay, great. So okay. I'll make sure.
Anybody, and for you and all of your friends. Okay, so the Rashbam was, of course, the grandson of Rashi. So we're now up to the third generation of the house of Rashi. We spoke about Rashi. We have not yet spoken about Rashi's 2 son-in-laws. Rashi had 2 son-in-laws. Rashi had 2 daughters. Miriam was married to the Rivan, and Rashi's second daughter, Yocheved, was married to Rabbeinu Meir, Rav Meir. And Rabbeinu Meir was otherwise known as Avi HaRabbanim, the father of the rabbis, which is a very distinguished title. Now, Rav Meir was one of the Balei HaToisus in his own right, but what Rav Meir is renowned for is Rav Meir had four great sons. All of them were Ge'oinei U'ma'orei HaDoros in their own right. Last week we learned about the youngest, Rabbeinu Yaakov ben Rav Meir, Rabbeinu Tam. Actually, he wasn't the youngest. We're going to see he had a younger brother, but that younger brother was so much younger than him that Rabbeinu Tam always considered himself the youngest. And today we're going to learn about the oldest son of Rabbeinu Meir. His name was Rabbeinu Shmuel. So Rashi, again, had two daughters. Actually, Rashi had a third daughter as well, but her marriage was not successful, so we don't know much about her. I believe her name was Rachel. And her marriage did not last. But Rashi's well-known two daughters, who actually were great scholars in their own right, Rashi's two daughters were Miriam and Yocheved. Miriam, again, married to the Rivan. The Rivan is the one who picked up for Rashi in the end of Masechet Makos. And then Rabbeinu Shmuel, the Rashbam. As I'm sure we're familiar with the Rashbam, the Rashbam's commentary is found in the 10th parak of Psachim and Arvei Psachim, also in the majority of Masechta Baba Basra. So let's begin with a story. It's always nice to start with a story, and this will give us a little bit of a glimpse and a little bit of a picture to understand the life and times of the Rashbam. The Mordechai, in the end of the first parak of Erevin, mentions there are two things Rashbam wanted to do, and he was not successful in either of them. The first thing was, and the reason he was not successful is Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takola Yidei Tzadikim. God doesn't let Tzadikim slip up. He guards them from making an error. The first thing the Rashbam wanted to do, he wanted to let people drive cars on Shabbos. Actually, get into a car on Shabbos. So you say they didn't have cars. All right, they didn't have cars, but they had wagons. He wanted to allow, like a Tesla. You know, let's say somebody else opens the door, you get in. I mean, a Tesla doesn't need a driver. You know, somebody puts in, okay, go here, and it drives on its own, basically. So the Rashbam wanted to allow people to go onto wagons on Shabbos. They have mechitzos. What's the problem? It's already a self-enclosed area. But min hashamayim, they did not allow him to issue this heter. And here's the second thing the Rashbam wanted to do. The Rashbam was shefal einayim. He kept his eyes down. When the Rashbam walked on the street, he didn't walk, you know, so what's going on? Who's that guy across the street? What's going on? What's that sign on the bus? The Rashbam walked around with his eyes down. And because he walked with his eyes down, he had to take transportation sometimes. So there was a wagon in front of him. And the Rashbam didn't see he was being led by a horse and a mule, which is Klayim. And he was about to get into the wagon. He didn't realize. And a miracle happened. Someone stopped him. You know who stopped him? Rabbeinu Tam. From last week. Rabbeinu Tam happened to be there. And Rabbeinu Tam, even though he had the utmost respect for his older brother, as we mentioned, Rabbeinu Tam's primary Rebbe was the Rashbam, was his older brother. Rashbam was at least 10 years older than Rabbeinu Tam. And Rabbeinu Tam said, "Dear brother, don't be such a frummy. Don't be so religious. Don't be such a tzaddik. Al tihit tzaddik harbe. Lift up your eyes and look where you're going. You mean you can't just go on a wagon? What if it's a terrorist who wants to hijack you, wants to kidnap you? Can't just go on a wagon? Don't be such a tzaddik. Lift up your eyes. There's a horse. There's a ferd. There's a mule." And he didn't go. That's the story. So the Rashbam was going out. He was walking. He needed to get on a wagon. And he had a dilemma. His practice is he doesn't look around. On the other hand, you know, you never know what kind of wagon he could be getting on. So the Rashbam said, "This is my practice. I'm not going to forego my practice of chassidus. I'm going to continue to keep my eyes lowered. It might be a pitfall. Baruch Hashem, a miracle happened. God saved him through the medium of Rabbeinu Tam." So the question is, if the Rashbam was such a big tzaddik, why was he not concerned that the wagon that he would unknowingly go on might be led by a horse and a mule. After all, goyim are not makbid on the laws of klayim when they drive wagons. Right? Goyim, that's not one of their chumras. And when they go to their base tiflos, the priest doesn't get up. You know, fellow goyim, you really need to be more careful from getting into wagons with horses and mules. They don't. That's not one of their things. That's not one of their things. So the question is, why would the Rashbam sort of put his head in the sand and just head onto a wagon unknowingly? This is the kasha of Rav Nosson Gestetner. Rav Nosson Gestetner in the Sefer Sichos Malava Malka. So he was giving a Malava Malka shir, and he asked this question on the story brought by the Mordechai in Masechta Erevin. So Rav Nosson Gestetner in his Sefer Sichos Malava Malka, and also in the Sefer Lahayrois Nosson on Parshas Nosai, says the following amazing approach, and it goes as follows. We've discussed in the shiurim over the years, I think we even had an eon shiur when we were learning Maseches Yevamos, this principle that God does not allow the righteous to stumble, is this a absolute principle? Does God never allow the righteous to stumble? That means righteous people can never sin. And yet, there are some righteous people that I've heard about that they've committed a sin or two in their life. For example, Tosfos asks in Masechta Shabbos that the Gemara says Rabbi Nosson was told that you're not allowed to read by the light of the Ner on Friday night. You're not allowed to read by the candlelight. And what did he do? He said, not a problem, I'll read and I won't tilt. And he read and he tilted. So they recorded in a document that when Mashiach comes, he's going to bring a fat cow as a carbon chatos. Or Yehuda ben Tabai, he killed an Eid Zoymim. Or somebody in Yevamos, Salivavam Abeis, Torah Sefer Torah in his anger. And it's interesting. There the Gemara doesn't ask, what do you mean? God doesn't even allow the animals of the righteous to stumble, right? There's a principle. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi takala al yid afilu. God does not even allow the animals of the righteous to stumble. So if you have an animal, and this is the animal of the righteous, the animal of the righteous will not eat tevel. God will protect the animal from eating tevel. So sometimes in Shas, the Gemara asks, how could the tzaddik do an avera? God even protects the animal from stumbling. Certainly the tzaddik himself. Oimer Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam said that the Gemara only asks this question by Isurei Achila, by prohibited food. Because it's a big genai for a tzaddik to eat something that's not kosher. By the way, in Sefer HaYosha, Rabbeinu Tam says, Al pi ruach HaKodesh, the tzaddik will be margish, he's eating something that's not kosher, and it will be very disturbing to him. So the Gemara will only challenge and say, well, God, doesn't God protect the righteous? God only protects the righteous from eating forbidden foods, not from desecrating Shabbos, and not from killing an Eid Zoymeim, and not from ripping Sifrei Torah. So Tosfos even asks, what do you mean, Rav Yirmiya once forgot and ate before Havdalah? So Tosfos says, he ate kosher food. It was just at a prohibited time. It's like, you know, guys walk into shul with coffee. Now, the shul is not Starbucks, right? There's something called Starbucks. It's a coffee shop. And there's something called a shul. It's not like a thing, oh, I walk into shul with like a big cup of coffee or even a bottle of water. You know that Shabbos morning, once you daven shacharis, you now drink water before Kiddush. You could be an astronaut. You could be about tefillah, about kairay. Can't drink water before kiddush. Whatever you could be, I don't know what, you know, you're studying cures. You can't eat before kiddush. Tosfos asks. But this great rabbi drank before. Now, you ought to drink water, al pi halacha, before Havdalah. The Arizal says you shouldn't, but me'ikra, then you're allowed to drink water before Havdalah, not before kiddush, once you daven shachris. So a shul, it's not like, it's not a bar, it happens to be. A shul is not a bar. It's not a barn. But you eat outside, and then you leave all your beverages and liquids and hydration outside the shul, and then you come into the shul and you pray to the Almighty. Those are these. We have two locations in this. We have outside of the shul, that's for your personal needs, and we have inside of the shia, that's where you connect with the Lord. Okay, anyway, that was just a free public service announcement. So Rabbeinu Tam says, God will only protect the righteous from eating forbidden foods. God will not protect the righteous from eating permitted foods at the wrong time. That's Rabbeinu Tam Shita. In Masechta Baba Basra, we have a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says like this. Hahu de'amar le'lechare. There was a guy who said to his friend, now the guy was a shchiv meira, he was seriously ill. He said, Nichse lecha va'acharecha l'pleni. First my property is going to go to you, and then it's going to go to so-and-so. The rishon roi liyor shehava. The first recipient was an inheritor of the one who is giving it over to him. So the first recipient was an inheritor of the benefactor. So the first guy died, Shchav Rishon. When the first recipient died, Asa Sheni Katava, the second recipient came and said, I want it. Now, the inheritors of the first guy said, it's ours. So Rav Elish thought to say, in the presence of Rava, Sheni Nami Shakal, the second guy should also get a share. Amalei, Rava said, it's ridiculous. Only a Dayan who doesn't know how to judge will make that decision. Dayani dechatzatz dehachi dayna. Judges who compromise, they rule that way. What's a judge that compromises? A unlearned judge. Basically, a judge who doesn't know the halacha, he sits there, he strokes his beard, and he says, you know, I think you should split it. Meaning the guy doesn't never cracked open a chosh mishpah in his life, he has doesn't know any halacha. He figures, okay, let's split it. You know, that's what a judge that compromises is basically an ama or it's gomor. Unless, you know, even though a dayan should always compromise, but that, he has to first know what the halacha is. Anyway, so Rabbi Elish got very embarrassed. So Rava said, don't worry, kari ale, ani Hashem bi'itach ishana. Rava read the pasuk, I am God, I will hasten the Mashiach in its right time. Says Rashbam, what Rava was telling Rabbi Elish is, don't sweat it. That's why God sent me to you in the flash of time to correct you from making this unlearned psak. I bailed you out just right away. You're right, you made a mistake, but Hashem loves you, so He sent me to correct you so you shouldn't make an error. Why? Says the Rashbam, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takala Yidei Tzadikim. When Tzadikim meet a Yeshua, Hashem saves them just in a split second. So says Reb Nosson Gestetner, from here we see there's a basic machlokes between the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam regarding the principle of Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takala Yidei Tzadikim. How far does God go to save the righteous? Rabbeinu Tam says, only food. You know, you go into a kosher restaurant, you say, I want to order the double burger with the fakin, rakin thing, whatever it's called, right? I want fakin on my burger. Oh, sorry, sir, we're out of it today. It's a good thing they're out of it, because that was no fakin. That was mamish, that was me'ain, that was the real thing. So Hashem will only save the righteous from food issues, says Rabbeinu Tam. The Rashbam, on the other hand, says, no, God will save someone even from making an improper decision regarding psak halacha. So even Rav Elish, who is about to award the second wrongful inheritor, was protected because of the principle, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takala Yidei Tzadikim. So we have this very interesting machlokes between Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam. Rabbeinu Tam says, you're only protected from eating cheeseburgers, food. And the Rashbam says you're protected from everything.
So story, why did you tell him? Why did you say Al Tehid Tzadik?
So it comes, says Reb Nosson Gestetner, the Machloikis, the Rabbeinu Tam and Rashbam, in the story where the Rashbam put his eyes down, is rather Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam, l'shitase. They're going according to their shita. The Rashbam, the question was, how could the Rashbam put his head down, but maybe he's going to end up on a Tesla led by a horse and a mule? The answer is he doesn't have to worry. The Rashbam knew he was a tzaddik. Like, you know, Rabbeinu Chananu writes that Rav Shimon bar Yochai knew he was a tzaddik. That's why he said, I could exempt the whole world from Midas Hadin. Because he knew he was a tzaddik. The Rashbam knew he was a tzaddik. So he knew he was a tzaddik. God's going to save him from eating cheeseburgers and from going on wagons with horses and mules. So Rashbam said, look, I always walk around with my eyes looking down. And I'm always careful because I don't want to see anything indecent. Should I put on my glasses and look around just to be careful? I don't have to do that. I'm a tzaddik. I don't have to worry. God will protect me from inadvertently getting onto horses and mule-led wagons. But Rabbi Natan says you can't do that. Why? Because Rabbi Natan says God only protects you from eating food which is not kosher. So Rabbeinu Tam said, you can't be such a tzaddik. You need to keep your eyes open. You can't rely on the fact that God's going to protect you and save you from getting onto a wagon led by a donkey and a horse, because you can't rely on that. God's not going to protect you from that. So the Rashbam, who holds God protects tzaddikim from any sin, felt that he had now. We see a very important principle from here. Namely, that it's not a good idea to be gawking and looking around and you know, who's across the street. No, the practice of a genuine, aspiring to be righteous Jew is to keep their eyes to themselves. You ain't going to see anything that's going to improve your life. It's just going to it's just going to make you want more, want something that you don't need, you don't have, or you can't get. You're always better just keeping the eyes unlimited. Who's across the street? You'll never know. Now, don't worry. What you don't know, it won't hurt you. So look how far the Rashbam went to maintain this practice. He went so far that the Rashbam made the conscious decision to not look, even though it could be that he's going to get on a wagon with a mule and horse, and it was a wagon, the mule and horse, and Hashem had to change over the world and get Rabbeinu Tam over there to save his skin. Still, the Rashbam said, look, this is a very important practice. Now, I would have said that Rabbeinu Tam is still challenging the Rashbam. Rabbeinu Tam says, look, I know you feel that God protects the righteous from any sin, but that's only that if you do your due diligence, God will protect the righteous from inadvertently stumbling in any type of sin. But if you're going to be an ostrich and put your head in the sand, you can't rely on that if you're not doing your own hishtadlus. But anyway, this gives you a little bit of a picture of the personalities of the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam. The Rashbam was a very righteous tzaddik, and that was his practice to always look down. Now, I want to share with you another story where maybe this machlokes also plays a role, and that is the Chol of Yisrael. You know, in Europe, you can't drink milk that's not Chol of Yisrael, because, you know, you never know what kind of animal they get getting the milk from. You know, you can't rely on the government standards. In America, Rav Moshe has a chiddush that the companies would never want to violate the code and put in the milk from a different animal. That's Rav Moshe's chiddush about Chol Yisrael. But there's still certainly a halacha, a chumra of Chol Yisrael, that a Jew has to be present at the time of the milking. Why? They have to be there the whole time? Do they have to be like watching every squeeze, both hands on the cow? Imagine if the guy's about to squeeze and they're just, wait a second, I have a phone call. Okay, I'll hold it right here. You let me know when you come back. I mean, is the Jew's watching the whole time? Or is it enough that the guy is scared that the Jew might walk in? I mean, we rely on the fact that there's a mirsis, there's a fear. So, what you think, there's a Jew, there are 5,000 rabbanim with long beards watching every single cow, every squeeze. They take a picture of every squeeze. No, there's a mashkiach. So, that's a kula. So, the story goes, this is brought in the Tshuva Subsakim of the Rihazakim, that what did the Rabbeinu Tam do for a living? Who remembers? How many businesses did Rabbeinu Tam have? Last week's share. He had 3 businesses. Number one, he was a vendor. He dealt in wine. Number two, he's a banker. He lent money. And he also dealt in goats. He was a goat dealer. That's a very chash of a job. He was a goat dealer. Anyway, the Rashbam had a lot of goats. And we don't know much about the family of the Rashbam. We don't know about his children, except for this tshuva, where the Rashbam sent his daughter. And his daughter's name was Maruna, or Marina. That was her name. And he sent her, go, Marina, go check out the cow. Just check out the goats. Now, poor Marina had to deal with 500 goats. What do you think? By the time she got there, half of them were milked already. And she can't get to all the goats. And Rabbeinu Tam gave it to the Rashbam. He said, what do you think? Yeah, this is Chol of Yisrael. Because you send one little girl, Marina, and she's going to oversee all the cow, all the goats? No. It's too big. It's too much for one person. And plus, you're going to send Marina out into the field among the Goyim. What do you think? Well, is that responsible? So maybe to that, the Rashbam would say, and my friend Rabbi Yossi Farbus, whatever, the Rashbam would say, it's also the Shitase. Rabbeinu Tam says, God doesn't save the tzaddikim from, he only saves the tzaddikim from eating forbidden foods. He doesn't save the daughters of tzaddikim from possible danger. Maybe the Rashbam would say, no, God protects the animals of the tzaddikim, he protects the family of the tzaddikim. But anyway, this was another very interesting machlokes between Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam. And pretty much we rely on the Rashbam's kula, that you have a Jew there, and there's some kind of mirsis that the Jew could catch them. That would be sufficient for Chol V'Yisrael. Now I'm going to share with you probably the most well-known and powerful words that we have from the Rashbam. And these are the opening words of the Rashbam on Parashas Vayeshev. We actually once gave a shiur just on this passage of the Rashbam. But the Rashbam says something really remarkable. And the Rashbam captures his entire approach to how to learn Chumash in these couple of lines. The Rashbam says that anybody who appreciates the intellect will understand that there's a principle called Ein Mikra Yoytze Midei Pshutai. The pasuk always has a literal and basic interpretation. Even though that's not the main approach to Torah, the main approach to Torah is not the literal basic approach, because most of the halachas of the Torah are being taught through allusion, haggadah, drush, the 13 hermeneutic principles of exegesis, the 32 principles of exegesis of Rabbi Elazar ben Yosher, Rabbi Yossi Haglili, and says the Rashbam, the Rishonim, because of their righteousness, they only learn drushes. Now you look in the Gemara, all the halachas in the Gemara are based on drush. The Gemara never says, okay, let's analyze this episode in the Chumash based on the logical, intellectual approach. That's not done in the Gemara. The Gemara never does. It's always based on drushes. And says Rashbam, that's correct. The Iker Torah is a drusha. But the Rishonim, because they were so righteous, they only focused on the drushes, which are the Iker, and they never trained themselves in the art of Oimek HaPshat. In other words, Torah is a building, and the ground floor is the level called Oimek HaPshat. I would say the Ibn Ezra is Oimek HaPshat. By the way, you know, sometimes you have a machlokes Rashi and the Ramban. And Rashi says a pshat in the pasuk, and the Ramban asks five questions, and the Ramban says Rashi's wrong. I mean, Rashi's wrong. Rashi's quoting a Medrash. The Medrash was given on Har Sinai. How could Rashi be wrong? The Ramban doesn't mean Rashi's wrong. What the Ramban means is that's not the basic level of understanding. That's not the pshat. It's one of the maybe higher levels, but it's not the pshat. There's something called Oimek HaPshat. And says the Rashbam, and the reason why the Rishonim were not really proficient in Oimek HaPshat is because the Gemara says in Brachos, don't train your children to be academic. Or the Gemara says that those who learn Chumash, it's okay, it's pretty good, it's not like learning Gemara. And therefore, they don't really know Mikra, Pashib Shad in the Psukim. That's why the Gemara says in Shabbos that in Amor said I was 18 years old, I never knew in Mikra Yotzimidei Pshutai. Even my Zayda, who is the Zayda of the Rashbam? Rashi. Even my grandfather, Rabbeinu Shloimoi, Avi Imoi, my mother's father, the light of the exile. He explained Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim. He tried to say Pshat. And I told him, me, Shmuel, the son of Meir, I told him, I argued with him. This is not Pshat. This is Drush. And Rashi said, you're right. Rashi said, if I had time, I would do what you said. Now, I don't think Rashi really agreed. I think what Rashi meant was, Rashi, of course, held that what he wrote on the Chumash was his definition of Pshat. And what constitutes the Torah's definition of Pshuto Shemikra, after all, Rashi says in Bereishis Parak Gimel, Pasuk Yudches, Va'ani Laibasi Ela L'Pshuto Shemikra. But Rashi agreed there might be an even more basic level than Pshat, and Rashi said, I don't have time to write that. But Rabbeinu Shmuel, the Rashbam, so to speak, paved a new pathway in understanding the Chumash. Basically, when you see a story, and there are people today who I would say they focus on Pshutoi Shel Mikra, and you say, where'd they get that from? That's not like the Gemara, that's not like the Medrash. But this is more along the approach of the Rashbam. The Rashbam sort of paved this new avenue, this new approach. And the Rashbam said, you can analyze the story in Chumash. Don't bring in Gemaras. Don't bring in Midrashim. Ask logical questions. Study it analytically. And you are entitled to say an intellectual baseline interpretation, even if it's against the Gemara and the Halacha. Not that we're going to paskin that way, but that's a level. It's one of the 70 faces of the Torah. What's amazing is the Rashbam seemed to do that to Gemara as well. I'm going to give you an amazing illustration. You know, in the first Mishnah on Bava Kama, how many types of Nezikin are there? Arba Avos Nezikin. What are they? Hashar, Vahabar, Hamave, Vahavar. All the Rishonim ask, it's out of order. Bar comes last. Why is it Shar and Bar? Also, in the end of the Mishnah, it says, Loi Hare Hashar Kahare Ha'esh. What's Eish? Hever. So why in the beginning is it called Hever and the end of the Mishnah is called Eish? And Tosis talks about this and all the Rishonim talk about it. So Rashbam says the simplest pshat. This so captures the approach of Rashbam. Rashbam asks, all the Rishonim ask, it should be Shar and Bar in the end. He says Rashbam, no. Bar rhymes with Shar. Shar, Bar. I mean, if you're writing a Mishnah, and you want people to remember it, and you're trying to give symmetry, what are you going to do? Shar, Mave, Hever, Bar? No, Shar, Bar. It rhymes. It's a similar word. It has a similar sound. Ah, of course it's Eish, but in the it says Mave. So next to Mave, you want to say a word that sounds like Mave. Hever. That's why it said Hever. Because it's the same Havara. It's the same type of word. It's the same sound of the word. So again, this is like the Marsha's, this is like the Rashbam's approach to Chumash, utilizing it on the Mishnah and the Gemara. Very interesting. It's like Pshutoi Shel Gemara. Nobody else came up with, Tosis never came up with, yeah, you know why it's Shar Bar? Because it rhymes. But why not? You know, that's like a basic Shar Bar. Very interesting. The Rabbeinu Tam revered his older brother, the Rashbam, even though he told him off not to keep your eyes down on the floor. He told him off about Chol Bisrael. He said, you know, my grandfather, Rashi, changed the Gersa and the Gemara very infrequently, and my older brother, the Rashbam, you know, God should forgive him, but he's constantly changing the Gersa, and why does he write so long? It's so long. By the way, you know, Masechta Bava Basra is not the longest Masechta. By far not. Brachas is much longer than Bava Basra in terms of words of Gemara. Yeah, but Brachas has Rashi, and Bava Basra has the Rashbam. You know, 176 blot. 100 of the blot are the Rashbam. But Bava Basra is not the biggest Masechta. Not by far. There are many Masechtas bigger than Bava Basra. The thing is, take a look. You know, most of the page is the Rashbam. See, and the Rashbam is changing the Girsa. And that was a problem for a number of reasons. One of them is beyond the scope of this year, which is more of a historical reason, and that is because changing the Gersa and the Gemara led to a very common practice back in the day, and that is Bible criticism. Because to the Jews, the one thing that's sacred is the text. You can't tamper with the text. Tampering with the text could be very dangerous. But the Rashbam, despite his humility, He was very strong-minded. He criticizes all the Rishonim in their approach to Chumash, including his grandfather Rashi. He says what they're doing is Hevel, Shtos, Upshatim, Shel Armumios. And this was not coming from, this was coming from one of the great Tzadikim and Anovim. But at the same time, very interesting. Now this is also something very important. We're coming up on Shavuos Batamos. Shavuos Batamos, the Navi says, Tzayim Haravi, Tzayim HaChamishi, Tzayim HaShvi, Tzayim HaSuri, Yiyah LeBeis Yehuda, V'Sasein LeSimcha, LeMayadim Toivim, V'HaEmes, V'HaShalom, Ehavu. Truth and love, truth and peace will love each other. By the way, Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch, when he would sign his name, V'HaEmes, V'HaShalom, Ehavu. Because that was the principle of Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch. First comes truth, and then comes peace. Not vice versa. Peace is not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is truth. Truth comes first. And then you work on the peace. And that is the tefillah of the Rashbam. We have a tshuva of the Rashbam. The Rashbam, really, this was the mantra of Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch. He also, the Rashbam's approach to Torah was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you look in the number 11, Vayete Leinu Chesed Leftoyach Lanu Archos Chaim, God should open up for us the pathways of life. Laham Regleinu B'mishar Ladas Ha'emes V'lehoiv HaShalem. God should allow us to know the truth and to love peace, but not vice versa. I'll ask you an interesting question to think about. In Megillas Esther, it says, Divrei Shalom V'emes. There it says, peace, and then truth. Okay, now, the Rashbam, despite his illustrious grandfather, the Rashbam said Perushim ala Torah in the presence of Rashi. The Rashbam paskined in front of Rashi. Look at number 14. The Mordechai quotes that the Rashbam gave this psak in front of his grandfather Rashi. This was a psak. The Rashi was standing right there, and the Rashbam gave a psak halacha. So we have the Rashbam's perush on Baba Basra from Chav Tes Amud Aleph, but don't think the Rashbam only wrote on that. The Rashbam, look at number 13, writes later on in the Masechta. He said, I already explained this in the second parak. What do you mean I already explained? We only have the Rashbam from Chav Tes Anan. No, the Rashbam wrote on the whole Masechta. The Rashbam wrote on the whole Shas. If we would have the Rashbam's Perush on Shas, the Daf Yoimi would be as long as the Daf HaShavua, right? That's how long it would take to learn Shas. You know, Shas is only 7 years because we have Rashi on the majority of Shas. And just to finish up a little bit more about the family and the house of Rashi, we have a letter here from Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam expresses his grief and his sorrow. He says, the light of my eyes are no longer with me because the Aron Kodesh, the Holy Ark, has been taken away, and that is my great brother, Reb Yitzchak. Reb Yitzchak was the second brother. Reb Yitzchak was the Rivam. Throughout Shas, Baba Kama, Baba Matzia, Baba Basra, Rivam, Hiksher Rivam. That was the Rashbam's second brother. So the Rashbam, Rivam, Rabbeinu Tam, and we're going to see Rabbeinu Shmuel. And Rabbeinu Rabbeinu Shloimai. So, in this letter, the Rabbeinu Tam mourns the loss of his second brother, the Rivam. The Rivam left over 7 Yesaimim. Who's going to take care of them? Rabbeinu Tam took care of them. He has all 3 family businesses. He's the winemaker, he's the banker, he's the goat man, and he supported basically the entire family, including his brother's 7 Yesaimim. Rabbeinu Tam talks about how painful it was that when he used to talk and learning to Rabbeinu Yitzchak, his second brother, it was Smeichim Kenesinasan Misinai. And then he talks about, he says an interesting historical point, that Rabbeinu Shmuel spent time with Rashi in Troyes. When Rashi passed away, Rabbeinu Shmuel went to Rabbeinu Meir's city in Ramarupt. And then later on, Rabbeinu Tam says that he's not with us anymore. He visited the city of Cain, he went to the city of Paris, and further. Now there was a fourth brother. That was, as we mentioned, Rabbeinu Shloimeh. We don't really know much about Rabbeinu Shloimeh. Rabbeinu Shloimeh specialized in Hebrew grammar, in piyutim, and he was the youngest of all the brothers. So even though Rabbeinu Tam considers himself the youngest, but that's only because that's relative to the Rashbam and the Rivam, but Rabbeinu Shloimeh was really the youngest son of Rabbeinu Meir. Again, Rabbeinu Meir is known as Avi HaRabbanim. He's the father of all these four great rabbis. So, just in closing, I want to share with you something that is reported in a very obscure sefer. It's called Shar HaChotzer of Rav David ben Shimon. In some of the Nusach Svarad Sidurim, they have, by the Lashem Yichud, they say a phrase, B'Shem Kol Yisrael. Sound familiar? They have Svarad Sidurim here in this shul? Does that sound familiar? You have to say something like that? B'Shem Kol Yisrael. In the name of all of Israel. Okay. We were able to dig up from an ancient artifact, a Svarad Siddur. Thank you. I think in the Lashem Yichud, they have something like that. Lashem Yichud, B'Shem Kol Yisrael. What does that mean, B'Shem Kol Yisrael? I'm putting on tzitzis, B'Shem Kol Yisrael. So the Rashbam, when he was on his deathbed, he said, everyone leave the room. And everyone left the room. And he called his most trustworthy student, and he gave him over the secrets of Torah. And he said as follows, when you give money to tzedakah, you give a certain amount, and you want God to be pleased with your action. So after you give your donation, you give $100, then what I want you to do is add one coin and say quietly to yourself, this one coin I'm giving B'Shem Kol Yisrael, on behalf of the whole Jewish people. And whenever you say a tefillah, and whenever you do a mitzvah, you should always have in mind, you're doing it not only for yourself, but for all of Israel. So it's interesting, this little thing that Nusach Ashkenaz does not say. Now, the Rashbam davened Nusach Ashkenaz, and the Rashbam never said L'Shem Yichud in his life. Nevertheless, and he wouldn't. Neither did Rashi, neither Rabbeinu Tam, or any of the hundreds of Balei HaTosfos that we follow. But the idea of B'Shem Kol Yisrael was brought to this world through the Rashbam. Now, the Rashbam, based on this, the Sefer Shar HaChatzer says like this. It says, Nasoin titen lo, you should surely give tzedakah. V'lo yeira levavcha b'tzedakah, you shouldn't feel bad when you give it. Ki beglala davraza yivarech Hashem. Because of this matter, God will bless you. And the question is, why would I feel bad? I'm giving the tzedakah, why would I feel bad? It means like this, Nasoin titen. I already gave $100. Why do I need to give one more dollar? Maybe this is the makar of Sfaradim, they give 101. Where's 101? So they gave 100. But I give one more. Don't feel bad when you give that extra gift. Why? Because of that extra gift that you're giving, B'Shem Kol Yisrael, that's where the bracha comes from. This was the chiddush of the Rashbam on his deathbed. This is the third generation of the Balei HaTosfos, and maybe in future Shurim, we're going to speak about the fourth and fifth generation. I think we're going to do it on maybe the next Fridays or so. And I think the last year on the subject, we have to go back to Rashi. Because as much as we think we know about Rashi, we haven't even begun to uncover who Rashi was, what was the root of his soul, and we're going to uncover really unbelievable Giluyim. So stay tuned for that. Thanks for listening. Bracha v'atzlacha. Have a wonderful evening. Kol tov.
What?
Okay. Oh. When is that?
Okay.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.